Welcome to the Think Kingdom Church podcast. I'm Marcus Looney, the Creative Arts Director over here at Think Kingdom Church. We want to thank you for joining us for week 5 of the series Mixtape. Let's jump in and see what God's Word has for us with the 5th and final mixtape with lead pastor Antoine Lassiter.
We are finishing up our mixtape series, and it's interesting, this whole entire series, because it's a mix of different topics that we were focusing on. And I want you to take notes because this will not only help you in relationships with other people, but also will help you in relationship as we make disciples and we continue to walk towards the things of God. So I really want you to take some notes because I pray that it's going to help you. And the title of today's message is The Value of Vulnerability. I talked about a few months ago the currency of being authentic, the currency of authenticity. And this is a springboard from that, but it's going to wrap the mixtape series all together. And I promise you, I won't be before you long. But have you noticed that when we were younger, when we were playing games like hide and seek, we didn't hide well? We haven't mastered hide and seek at that age, at the young age. I remember my younger brother would hide behind a curtain and his feet would be sticking out. It'll be easy to find. And as children, when we get mad, we tantrum. When we feel bad, we whine. When we feel sad, we cry. And children are so brutally honest, they'll tell you exactly how they feel. If they don't like you, they'll pull away from you. Children will tell you that your breath stinks. They'll tell you that you're fat. They have no filter. Kids have no sophistication. I remember working with this kid, and he said I was the biggest black man he's ever seen in his life. And I said, hey, how you doing? My name is Mr. Antoine. That was his introduction to me. As kids, they notice everything, and they have questions about everything. They say exactly how they feel. And so when we get older, we become more filtered. We become more tactful. We become more experienced with hiding. Like, we know how to play hide and seek. We win at it now when we get older. We go into places that we don't have to come out of. The older we get, the more reluctant we become. We don't really share who we are. We become experts in covering up. Authenticity is no longer second nature. We learn to bite our tongues. We learn to compromise for the sake of relationships. There's a lot of things that we do when we get older. We are seeing now, though, to a certain degree, Facebook and different platforms, that people are no longer hiding. They're coming out, so to speak, but they're only revealing certain things about themselves. But it's not true vulnerability. It's not true authenticity. Eating, sex, drinking, binge watching Netflix, it helps us numb emotions of discomfort. And so sometimes we use those things to numb how we truly feel. So we blame because we like to shift the pain to someone else. We like to shift the responsibility to someone else. And so if we're going to be citizens of the kingdom, we have to learn to live in this space of vulnerability. And that, my friend, is hard. That is hard living, especially if you're in relationships. I mean, I don't want you to raise your hand, but if you're currently struggling in relationships, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to raise your hand. Don't raise it, just raise it in your thoughts. Because being vulnerable increases the risk of being misunderstood. Being vulnerable works against self-preservation. Being vulnerable also reduces the guesswork of defining an inner struggle. When you are vulnerable, you and I, when we are vulnerable in relationships, it helps define our inner struggle, but vulnerability is seen as a weakness. And so why would we dwell, or why would we live in that tension of weakness in relationships? Who wants that? Everybody wants to appear to be strong, and things don't, and appear that things don't bother them. Vulnerability gives us a notion of uncertainty. It's, I trust God, but anybody been there? I know what he said, but I also know what I see. So the tension of what he said and what I see is real. And God help us in relationships, because in relationships, I know what you said, but I also know what you see. So I have to trust what you said is not what I see. So without being vulnerable, we act like we know the answers when we don't. We hurt quietly while growing bitter, and relationships become unstable because we train ourselves to live in this insecurity, and we find ways to prop ourselves up. So I'm going to give my wife 95% of my heart, not all of it. I'm going to give this church 80% because the last church hurt me. So my heart becomes hardened in relationships because that's a way to protect myself. So I build these walls unbeknownst to the person I'm in relationship with. And the very wall that I built around my heart now becomes my prison. So I can't feel, I can't connect because I refuse to live out my vulnerability. Anybody? Okay, I got a few. I'm going to talk to y'all then because y'all are honest. So over time, because of my lack of vulnerability, because vulnerability is a willingness to be rejected. And so my heart's out there now. You done got Facebook groups, Evie. I mean, it's out there now. You are saying I do in November. So, but there's something hovering, because sometimes Jonathan, unbeknownst to him, he reminds you of what somebody else did. And so he's stepping all over your heart and don't even know it. But because you don't want to be vulnerable, you don't tell him. So here he is tap dancing on your heart. And you don't tell him, and you grow bitter towards him, not because he's done anything, because things were done to you. I must be in the house, because the more effective you preach, the quieter people get. So Elder Tony, I'm going to have to amen myself today. I'm going to have to just amen myself. Elder Nate, I'm going to have to amen myself today, because I can't get no help. Thank you. So we pretend that what you do or don't do to me, it don't affect me. But in my mind, I'm secretly keeping score. And so as we continue to build relationships, we continue to gather, I'm reminding my wife of what was. She's reminding me of what was. And if we don't push past the lack of vulnerability. See, I'll use me and my wife as an example, because what we have decided to do is live in the tension of being vulnerable. Hey, what did you mean when you said, I took it? And so we began to just go there. And we've been together for 25 years, and going there seems as if we have just been together for minutes. Because what I realized, Elder Tony, that my hurt and my pain just don't go away because I love Jesus. Wouldn't it be miraculous and, oh, my God, that you couldn't touch me, Rob, because I'm walking with Jesus? But I feel that we have to move past this numbness, because numbness leads us to emptiness. And I didn't know what this meant when my grandma used to say it, but she said, your cousin so-and-so is just empty. I was like, what the heck does that mean? And what she was saying was that some people have been hurt for so long that they have become takers unbeknownst. So they just take every relationship they get in now is take, 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 take. Because they were in previous relationships where they gave. And so they believe that they paid their dues. But here's a newsflash. Just because you hurt doesn't mean that you paid your dues. Evaluated experiences mean that your dues have been paid. If I take, remember, blame is my desire to shift the pain and to discomfort to someone else. So what am I responsible for? See, the more eyes that are on your relationship, the more pressure it is to become something that you're not. Oh, one of the worst things in the world is to make an announcement and the relationship don't work. Oh, so sometimes we stay in relationships. We stay in relationships, but because we told everybody. We are not who we are. We are not who we think we are. We are who we think other people think we are. What you think about that? I am who you think I am. And that's the danger. Because if I'm not careful, you will determine who I am. So in time, in relationships, what we have a tendency to do is drift towards a version of ourselves and not the real self. So it's you've heard me say this thousands of times, that when you meet somebody, they always send their representative first. I mean, I tell Tony this all the time. I'm telling the same jokes that you're not laughing at now. Why did you laugh at them when we first got together? Ha, 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 hee, hee. I expect you to laugh now. You tricked me. And so what happens over time, that if we are not fully engaged, wholehearted, all the way in with our relationships, the conflict happens. So beyond the words, it's very important that we see that the people that's in relationship with us understand and see our struggles and shortcomings. Because the closer we get to a person, they may be authentic, but that doesn't mean they're vulnerable. I'll give an example. This is just who I am. I speak my mind. I tell the truth. I don't cover up for nobody. I'm being real. But vulnerability is, the reason why I'm this way is because my dad left me. The reason why I have a tendency to not bless you out, but let's just say, why am I pretending? The reason why I curse you out is because you trigger something that you could not see, and it reminded me of my ex. See, there's a vulnerability there. So I'm not trying to give you excuses, but there is an explanation as to why you act the way you act. Always. Vulnerability. It's cultivating who you want to be. That's a habit worth mentioning. So if I want to be used by God, the challenge, Marcus, is that he uses all of me. The inconsistent me, the prayerful me, the one that you see behind this pulpit, and the one you see laying in the bed. He uses all of me. So restraint, say restraint, is the mark of maturity. Restraint simply means I'm responsible. So here's what I want you to put a note in. You could, but should you? I mean, think about it. You are grown. You got a mortgage, 2 car payments, and you work every day. But should you do just because you can? And sometimes we think maturity is living a life without restraint. That's foolishness. An immature person sees restraint as restrictive and accountability as punishment. Did you hear this? An immature person sees restraint as restrictive and accountability as punishment. A mature person understands that even in any relationship, I'm talking about relationship with Chrysler Financial, PNC Mortgage. I'm saying every relationship requires communication. Stop paying your bills. They will eventually communicate that you didn't hold your end of the bargain. So communication is the cornerstone. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. When you have it, say amen. If you don't have a Bible and you don't have an app on your phone, I'm just going to give you a couple seconds to get a Bible app. It takes a couple seconds. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. This is Paul. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. I think there's a version that says not testimony, but the mystery of God. So instead of testimony in some versions, you'll see the mystery of God. The mystery of God is almost like looking forward. And then your testimony is looking back. Very few of us share the current struggle, but the past tense one. In other words, it's easier for me to tell you what I used to do. It's more vulnerable for me to tell you what I'm still doing. It went. So sometimes what we have a tendency to do is talk about victories of the things of my past. But we very rarely share our present struggle because we're in the middle of it. And we really don't feel that we have victory over it. So we don't share it. So being vulnerable allows me to be able to tell you my testimony and also to share with you my struggle, being vulnerable. And the church, ironically, finds it difficult to be vulnerable, church people, because we paint a picture that we don't struggle, we don't have vulnerabilities, we don't have these doubts, and so we suffer in silence and we never ask questions. And so the enemy uses an opportunity to exploit that vulnerability. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. So here we have the Apostle Paul. Everybody, well, Apostle Paul, I mean, he had a crazy experience with God. He got knocked off his horse. He saw Jesus and he used to persecute Christians, and now he's a Christian and he's like on fire for Jesus. Crazy testimony. I mean, he stood up, he got beaten. I mean, he was pulled into the council and they were questioning, are you really who you say? And da da da. And he literally says, you know, I was weak, fear, and had much trembling. So the question isn't, do we have weaknesses? We all have it. The question is, what do we do with the weaknesses we have? See, we face weaknesses every day. Every day, we face our weaknesses. Parents, our children mirror our weaknesses. Your weaknesses are exposed in your job. Everywhere you go, there's a mirror to your weakness, your vulnerability. The question is, Rakeem, what do you do with it? You can't escape your vulnerabilities. Give you an example. Many of us, we don't give because we're vulnerable financially. So why would I give to this church? Why would I give to anything when that's one of my vulnerabilities? In relationships, why would I give this joker all my heart when he's the fifth man that I've been in a relationship with, or she's the fifth woman that I've been in a relationship with, and all of them turn out trash? So probability states that this one is probable, chances are, but here's the problem, Mark, is the common denominator in all those scenarios are you. So it's not just jumping in and out of, like, we're playing double dutch relationships or finances, whatever it is. It's really being responsible to see how I am contributing. Whatever, Rob. I just preached myself happy and then go home and check on my wife. All right. So when I am vulnerable in certain areas of my life, you know what I search for, Caitlin? Certainty. Man, we drift and crave certainty when we are vulnerable in a particular area. And that certainty doesn't always come from God. I mean, I keep getting invited to Susu. I don't even know what that is. I keep getting invited. Penny, this is what it is. If I give $100, I can make $4,000, whatever it is. Well, shoot, sign me up. But what's the catch? Because the person who invited me guaranteed me that I'll make some money. And I said, well, shoot, drug dealers make money. I might not want to act. It's a certainty that they're selling me. So me being me, okay, here's what we'll do. Give me $100, I make $4,000, and I'll pay you $100 back. Well, that didn't go over too well. I'm not in it, but we all search for certainty. So if you need money and you can't find a way to get it, if I call you based on the strength of our relationship and tell you, if you give me $100 and you can get $4,000 back, you are more likely to invest in that certainty. Now, if you are in Susu, this is my opinion. If you want to get in it, that's you. This is just my opinion. So what do we do when the world, when we crave for certainty? We look for cause and effect. We want explanation. We want reasons. We're Christians. We're believers. So here's I guess, where I want to give you hope while at the same time be real with you in that sense. Weakness is the way, but it's not the goal. When I share my vulnerability, sometimes all of us do this. We highlight the path. Oh, I used to do this, and I used to do that. I think I was talking to Rob about this. We share the misery of our testimony. We glorify that. It's like we're trying to one-up each other. It's, man, when I was young, I came to God and, you know, I strayed. Man, I just strayed. And when I was 22, I finally got it right. Man, I came to God when I was a baby. And I got shot at a toddler. What? I got dropped in a river. It's like, yo. And then you have the person over here that haven't experienced all that. They were young, grew up in a church, went to school, had an encounter with God, and now they're on fire. But you weigh that testimony with shot as a baby, dropped in a river, lost in the woods. It's like, wow, look how God just blessed. Man, the same God that kept you in all that mess is the same God that kept you walking on the path. Celebrate. But we have a tendency to glorify misery. I listen, not y'all. I listen to some of the people I pastor. And their words are just, and I used to do this, and I used to do this, and I still do this. And I am like, yo, is God in any of this? Yo, like, can we just celebrate his goodness? So weakness is the way, but not the goal. The goal is power, but it's not our power, it's his. I'm about to go somewhere. Just work with me. He says weakness. And then he says, and in fear. Fear is not sin. Disobedience as a result of your fear is sin. Hear me. Being afraid is not the sin. Not doing what God tells you to do is the sin. Not fearing what could happen if you obey. That's the sin. Disobedience is the sin, but fear alone is not the sin. We are not faithful because we are fearless. And so I see us all the time, pastors who walk in this confidence, and that's cool. That's cool. But the problem in walking in confidence, especially if it's your confidence, then it's up to you to make it happen. We have to walk in the confidence of Christ. I say this to you guys all the time. I will eventually let you down. It's not because I want to. It's because I'm human. Well, maybe I'm not. Jeez. All right. Tough crowd. Trembling. He says weaknesses, fear, and trembling. That's the anxiety. Here he is preaching all across the known world, and he's still in Corinthians. Corinthians, like Vegas, they had a bunch of scholars, and they specialize in rhetorical speech. That is, if you ever watch, I don't know, what would be considered rhetorical speech? It's a person who has eloquence, and they have a mastery of the human language, and they just they captivate you with their words. He said, Paul's like, look, I don't do all that. Lest you look at me differently. He says, and my speech and my messages were not in plausible words of wisdom, but he came with the spirit, with the demonstration of the spirit and of power. So that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So his preaching had nothing to do with trying to win the approval of his audience. He was speaking of an empty cross and an effective God. That'll preach. An empty cross, but an effective God. 2 Corinthians verse 12. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapters 12, verse 6 through 10. Won't read them all. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly, hear this, of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Listen to this, my God. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If you're here and you're in relationships, I'm trying to move you towards what God has called us to do, is to make disciples. But generally speaking, the people that you're closest to, you're either making disciples for Christ, or you're making the disciples up from yourselves. There's always the temptation to lead from a place of strength. It's always a temptation to have all the answers. But Paul reminds us that it's actually good news, but it doesn't feel like it. Parents, we're raising children in a world and we have in a world that's full of chaos, and the pressure for us is to have all the answers in raising our children. The pressure that I feel sometimes in leading these young men, especially Rob, as they try to figure and navigate their lives, I can tell them where I've been. You know, I'm just shy of 40. Anywho, so I'm further down the road, but what I know has got me to where I am, but I'm still learning. A 70-year-old has never been 75. A 40-year-old has never been 45. A 30-year-old has never been 35. It's the learning curve that we all will eventually experience. And sometimes, Dion, I have the answers for your life because I've been there. What makes me vulnerable is recognizing that I may not have the answer for my own. So I need the older men to walk with me. What makes this journey and this tension that we're all experiencing so hard for us, Rakim, is that we have trained ourselves to believe that we should have the answers. So when a person has a crisis of faith, They want me to have the answers for their faith. I do, but I don't, because I don't know what your crisis is. And so when I am challenged in my faith, like, where do I turn? I do the same thing you do. Well, hopefully, we go to God, we pray, and we seek his answers. And so we mistakenly assume faith requires the absence of fear and doubt rather than obedience despite it. I'm on this journey, and God is sending me to my Mormon neighbor who has a form of Jesus, but not the real Jesus. So how do I answer these questions that he has? What happens if he challenges certain parts of my own faith? I'm in a relationship, and I don't mean to hurt the one I'm in a relationship with, but I got baggage too, and I'm carrying my baggage, and I'm trying to carry hers, and I'm dropping both. But I want to appear to be strong. I want to appear that nothing bothers me. But scripture reminds us, James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sins one to another. That's vulnerable. Jesus is in the garden, and Jesus is shown, why would they capture Jesus' vulnerability? If it's possible, take this cup from me. I see how hard this is going to be. Nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done. I'm discovering this is hard, but some of us do not feel worthy of connection, so the end results are always control. Some of us are relationships that we will destroy because we don't believe that we're worthy enough to be in the relationship. So I might as well dismantle it on my own terms. I'm helping somebody. But the vulnerability is the willingness to risk rejection. Vulnerability seeks to make the uncertain certain. We seek for it, we long for it. So we look for assurances in our relationships. I want to make sure this thing is secure. So sometimes we overtalk in relationships. We overperform in worshiping God. We're busy, but true faith is how you rest. You missed it. Because you keep working so you can make it happen. Rest is, I know you will. Man, y'all ain't hearing me. We struggle and stop. Struggle and stop. We rob ourselves of others and the others around us. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. I'm reading scripture and I'm trying to be strong, Brian. I'm trying to be the man of my house. And then I go to Jesus on his way to Calvary, and Jesus drops his own cross. And Simon there to pick it up. We need each other to pick up the crosses that we may drop. Man, y'all are missing it. There's no long rangers in the kingdom, man. But the tension, Tim, is being vulnerable. Parents, hear me. Even the sacrifices that we make for our kids is designed to empower them, not enable them. And we have to be careful that what a martyr, you know the difference between a martyr and a victim? A martyr willingly lays their life down. A victim has no choice. And so if we trying to, it's like we guilt our children. Look what I've done for you. And the truth of the matter is the sacrifices that we make for this church, the sacrifices that we make for our children, the sacrifices that we make in relationships are designed to empower the relationship, not designed to manipulate it. We have to be so secure in our faith with God that when I'm close to collapsing, that you can prop me up. That's the because we have to recognize that we all share a part of a larger story. I never stopped praying for Dion when he's in California. Never stopped praying for Officer Cook. And the relationship takes a turn and different dynamics, but we have to be there for each other to prop each other up, because there are going to be times when I can't carry my own cross. And I need someone to help me carry it. But again, we have to determine the difference between a martyr and a victim. Boundaries are needed. Boundaries are in place to make sure that the mission can continue, hear me, without the resources being diverted away from the mission because you stretch yourself beyond your own limitations. And now all the resources have to be in saving you. So boundaries have to be in relationships so that we don't divert the resources for this relationship. And now everything now points to you because you don't have any healthy boundaries. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we are to be living sacrifices, being able to work alongside God. Not a dead sacrifice, but a living one. I'm going to end with this. This is a real ending. Real ending. Luke chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. Jesus brings out a little child and takes up the child in his arms. He says, whoever receives one such as a child as this receives me. Started the story with children. And I ended with children. We in this culture make everything about children. So we hear that, we don't have the context that in this culture, children were seen as a nuance. They weren't the center. They're nobodies. They're people in waiting. They represented the most vulnerable people in society. And he said, listen, if you want to see the kingdom, bring children to me. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Infants require more touch than anything else. I want you to hear this. Language is important, but as babies, they need to be touched. That's why when we come to God like little babies, like children, many of us, we have the language of faith. I mean, back in the day, I don't know if you young folks know this, we had a thing called answer machines. And so people would call, and it was a little small box, like yay big. And it was a little cassette tape, and it would record, and that was how you left a message. I don't know where I'm going with this. I just thought I'd throw it out there. But the answer machine was designed so that we won't miss a message. And as things developed, we have these little things that we have so many different ways to communicate. And this generation, myself included, is the less communicated generation ever. We do not share how we feel. And when we share how we feel, it's very defensive. Because who wants to be vulnerable? Rakim, seriously, who wants to be vulnerable? Who wants to be in a relationship to say, I've never seen a healthy relationship? My dad wasn't there, so I don't know how to treat a woman. And so that's one thing to say to the person you're in a relationship with. Man, you know how hard it is for you to say that to another man, that I don't know how to be a man? I never had that. Do you know how hard it is for a woman to say, who's successful, who pay her own bills, who whatever that success is, to be able to say, I don't know how to be a woman? And to say that to a, that's vulnerability. Why are we experimenting on our kids? Let's just ask for help. But we rather experiment and be prideful and mess up our kids. If we're not going to be a vulnerable church, I don't think we can be an effective church. Because a person that slides into these aisles are going to see a bunch of people who pretend that they have everything together. And so they get close enough and they call us hypocrites because we project we have everything together and we don't. I want to lead by declaring we weak. Because that's why we need him. Man, the more I study scripture, the more I see Jesus says, don't stop the little children from coming to me. Get out of the way. And if you notice anything about children, they're messy. And it takes patience. God, I love you, Katie. It takes patience. Not just raising your own kids, but raising somebody else's. And he says, get out of the way. And suffer little children coming to me. And here's another thing about children. They receive blessings without trying to make themselves worthy or pretending that they don't need it. That's how children can mess up 10 minutes before their birthday. And you know what they expect? A birthday present. They recognize that they messy, and they say, I'm sorry in a heartbeat and not even mean it. And he says, unless you come to him like children, because if we can bring them to Jesus, Jesus will raise them. Everybody on your feet. I don't know what you have to bring or you need to bring to him. I don't know what you need to bring to him as a little child, bringing something to their father. But I suspect that there's something that we need to bring to him. And I just want you to get whatever that vulnerability is, whatever it is, I want you to bring it to him. I want you to get it in your heart, get it in your mind. It's irrelevant how you got there. The truth of the matter is you're there. Let's not blame anybody. I believe that if you're there, the most simple response to have when you're there, wherever there is. Some of us need to get a check on our emotions. It's jacked up. I'm tantruming. Like when I get upset, Brian, it's like I'm maybe 45, but I'm actually the 6-year-old Antoine that's tantruming. Can we just be vulnerable and real? Because the truth of the matter is the people that's closest to you know it. That's the irony. What I'm asking you now, I don't want you to come to the altar for reasons that everybody's aware of, but I want you to find the altar of your heart. And I just like doing things, the gestures. So I'm just going to put it on my heart. If nothing, put your hand on your heart. If nothing comes to mind, all I just want you to ask is the Holy Spirit can work in you in ways that my words can never do. Just want to put in your heart, the Lord, and this is my prayer. Lord, there's things in me that's controlling me. And at my best attempt, I can't break it. I'm trying. Either bitterness has seeped into my heart. I'm trying to numb my emotions by doing things that are destructive, whatever it is. Because they may not be destructive, but it sure is not productive. So if I have to be a steward of the resources, and the resources also include my time, I am wasting it, getting lost, whatever it is. I need for you to just touch your heart and ask God. I'm not asking God to come in your heart. I'm asking you to submit to the lordship of who he is. Can he be the Lord over those doubts? Can he be the Lord over those emotions? That's who I'm talking to. Can he be Lord over the unresolved pain? Deal with the rejection. Deal with it. Deal with the insecurity. But he has to be Lord over it. That's what we're coming for. Come on, just spend some moments. Spend some moments praying. Some of us, honestly, it's not that we need to tell God sorry. We need to tell the person we're in relationship with sorry. He says, if you have an offering, leave it at the altar. Don't give it. But you have an ought against your brother or sister, go get it right first and then bring it to the altar. That's what we're doing. So if you have an ought against someone you're in relationship with, even if that person is long gone and you can't speak to them ever again, if you have an ought in your heart against them, ask God to help you forgive them, even if they're in their grave, because they're still alive in you and it's affecting you. We need folks surrendering to him. Husbands, wives, submit to your husbands. You can't submit if you ain't surrendered. If you don't know where you're going, why would she follow you? That's two lost people. You just need to repent. Now, as an act of faith, if you pray this prayer, I just want you to just raise your hand. Thank you. Father, the hands that are raised, we just recognizing that we have not always been vulnerable. We have weaknesses that we have not always discussed, and we have been silently struggling with it. You know my prayers, Lord. I just ask you to help me along this way. Help me to be the father that my boys need. Help me be the husband that my wife needs. Help me be the brother that my siblings need. Help me be a pastor that your church needs.
That was lead pastor Antoine Lassiter with the final mixtape, The Value of Vulnerability. If we are vulnerable with ourselves and with God, we can learn to be vulnerable to others, in turn helping edify ourselves and the body of Christ. If you're blessed by anything you hear on this podcast and you feel led to give, feel free to text the word GIVE to 704-741-3705. And again, that will wrap up the series mixtape. We hope that it is truly strengthening your walk. We want to say thank you for joining us as we walk together. You can hear this series and more right here on the Think Kingdom Church podcast.